So we all know summer is approaching, which is very exciting. Warmer days are coming. So fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-created meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto.
Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for?
With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have a new flavor to explore.
Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust.
Make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options.
Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like shrimp and blackened salmon.
Keep your kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up, which Lou hates to do.
I do. I hate cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage your calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well and balanced, which just makes cooking and meal prep easy at home. Not that you're cooking or meal prepping, they've done it all for you.
Head to factormeals.com/common50 and use common50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off for your next month. That's code common50 at factormeals.com/common50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Hi guys, welcome to the show. You know, we are, it feels like a show now today,
this
doesn't it?
Feels real. We're in Los Angeles.
We are in Los Angeles.
I feel like I could yell in this studio because it's so soundproof. It's so official.
I know. I feel calm in here. You know what needs to be lit?
The candle. The candle. There's a candle in here and everything. Mm. Wow.
Is that sage? Obviously fake.
It's a fake plant. Anyways, we're in LA and we're at the Spotify studios today. They've kindly let us come in to record.
Mercy.
And I'm really so excited. Today we're going to take advantage of the studios, take advantage of the free soft drinks. Yep. We've got a Diet Coke. Yep. You know we love our fucking Diet Coke.
Oh, and like guys, they have mozzarella cheese sticks in the fridge and I love a cheese stick.
Disgusting.
I love it. I was so shocked they had it. Since when does someone have a mozzarella? Mozzarella.
You need to go get your gut health checked. It's not normal how much you burp.
It is normal when you drink soft drink. It's carbonated.
But you burp even without the soft drink.
I only burp when I'm hungry. Leave
me. No. I've heard more.
No, I only burp when I'm hungry and when I've had soft drink. Think about it. Tell me when else. Tell me. Mm. Why don't you journal it down, doll?
Ashton's burping schedule. Mm-hmm. We've got a little Diet Coke in hand. Ashton's had her cheese stick. You know,
my oatmeal.
Yeah.
We just went and had lunch before and I was so hungry and I hadn't had breakfast yet. And sometimes if I haven't had breakfast, I can't really have a lunch thing without a breakfast thing. You know, a handful of blueberries, breakfast, done. I can move on to the lunch menu. But I couldn't move on to the lunch menu today without something breakfasty. So I ordered oatmeal at, what time is it? At 2 p.m.
I can eat oatmeal for dinner. I can eat it whenever.
That's what I mean. Breakfast for dinner. Tastes even better. Shall we get into the actual theme of the app?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're just yapping. What's new? I feel like I haven't spoken to you guys in a while.
I know. It's not been that long. We just had Maddie on last.
Oh, yeah.
That was
great,
last week.
Great episode. We hope you guys enjoyed that. We love her. We loved that one. But I guess a little life update. So we flew to L.A. When was it? Probably like a week ago now.
Yeah, it was a week ago.
Yeah, we've been here for a week and
feels like a month.
It feels like we've been in LA for a long time.
It's crazy.
And it's been a really different type of trip for us.
Yeah.
Like, so we came here with a brand for the first few days, which was really fun, really chilled, lots of socializing. And I feel like we've been taking turns of feeling a little bit fournay.
No, okay, let's just preface. We both were due for our period coming here. So, like, obviously, if you're a girl, you understand that at least a week leading up to your period, you're going through it. You got the tender breasts. You got the mood swings. You got the fatigue. You've got the irritability. You know, you got it all. And we had it all, dolls. And
I was chilling.
Your titties.
Yeah, now I'm in it, and I'm in it now. I just got my pier, literally today.
Just like an hour ago.
Literally, yeah. Well, this is so fucking TMI. Whoa, we've all gotten really close, haven't we? But Ash was feeling all sorts. And then, you know, I was picking up on the vibes and we're both just, I got the worst jet lag I've ever had. Like, not that I've ever had, but I got hit really badly with jet lag and just like feeling a little bit out of it. I feel like I've been fighting off sickness. And so this trip has been quite different for us this round.
It's kind of forced us to, well, we feel like we're out of control of our tiredness and fatigueness. So it's almost like that's kind of taken over and controlling our day-to-day life.
Yeah. But we're going to delve into why we're talking about this. But first, we're going to give you guys our mantra of the week.
Listen to the silence. It's telling the truth.
I think that this is fitting for us because we are extremely chaotic people, hence why we've done the podcast and called it Common Chaos. But we're learning more to listen to ourselves, listen to our bodies. And I think when it comes down to it and we actually sit in a bit of silence and we just listen to ourselves and we can like actually hear what we deeply need or deeply want to do. And I feel like this trip for us has been, as I keep saying, it's been really different for us because normally we would be like out socializing every night, saying
chasing the highs.
Yeah, saying yes to most opportunities that come our way, and which is great. And I love that we've got that in our personality. We really get the most out of life and we try and take it by the balls often. But we've really been saying no a lot more on this trip.
It feels like we've been forced to slow down. And I think that comes down to just aligning ourselves with our goals. Like right now for me, partying doesn't feel appealing because that's not what I'm about right now. I'm trying to like put my head down, hustle, get routine, focus on my goals. Even though we travel, we are trying to find the routine in our life still. So I think being able to just slow down, we talk about it all the time, slowing down, connecting with yourselves and letting your intuitive thoughts come up or anything that the white noise or outside noise could be interfering with. And it can just kind of help you, connect to yourself, really.
And I feel like probably people from the outside are going, well, yes, sweethearts, it makes sense that you're a bit burnt out.
Yeah.
Because you don't stop.
But we're addicted to dopamine.
Yeah. And I think a lot of, I don't know if it's a lot of people or if it's just us or like, I think it's a normal thing to want to feel good a lot of the time.
Yes.
But the issue with what we're doing and what we have done for so long is that
we are
like bypassing the signs of our body saying, can we please slow down? Because we're addicted to the highs that we're getting and forgetting that you can also get those little highs in day-to-day life and routine. And it's almost like we're scared of just normality and mundane stuff, but then we crave it so deeply. Every day here we've been like, oh, miss London, can't wait to go home. And it's like, it's not that we're not enjoying ourselves here. I think it's just
we're in a different season of life right now.
Yeah. And it's like, isn't it? It's almost like grass is greener. Like when you're at home, you feel bored and you're like, I want to go and explore and do other things. Then when you're doing other things, you're like, oh, I actually kind of miss that stability that I have. And I feel like Ash and I both having like I can't even explain really how different this trip is, especially like you can chill a bit more than me sometimes. Like you'll be like, not as that you can accept a chilled night.
I feel like I can lay in my bed and watch movies or a show. Like you get a bit like antsy.
I'm antsy and I'm also so ridiculously social to the point where it's like, what are you running from? What are you distracting yourself from?
Well, that's what I was going to say before. I feel like dopamine addiction comes from a few different things. I feel like it can be like a form of like escapism. Like you're running away from sitting alone, like which is a lot of people. They don't want to sit alone with their own thoughts. That's fine. Another thing is people who've grown up in chaotic environments, then without knowing, they seek chaos in life because that feels normal to them. And for both of us, I feel like a bit of our family life and growing up, like there was a lot of chaos. So like it's natural to us. So it's almost like when we're not in it, we're like, oh, what's wrong? Like it's like kind of like something's missing in our life.
And what I feel, because for me, my issues is anytime I travel, I am like ridiculously social, like especially because I'm single. Normally, I'd be like, I need to go out. I need to mingle. I need to go have fun. Like,
and you want to make the most of your holiday.
That's the thing. I have this guilt about me that's like, you're not making the most of this opportunity, Cardia. And I beat myself up so much. Like,
and like missing out on networking, missing out on good memories. Like you just
might meet the love of my life.
Yeah. my brain goes, you might meet the love of your life, Katia. And it's like, no, you're going to meet him regardless if you go out to that club or out to a dinner or out to the party. Like, you're always meant to, what's the saying?
You're always on time for your own life.
Yes, you're always on time for your own life, and you'll always be placed in the positions where you need to be. And I think this trip has really been a lot about trusting that and trusting my body, sitting in the silence, like saying no and realizing that feeling this way is completely normal. And I feel like a grown up. We keep saying, oh, the grandmas are here, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I actually just feel like a fucking grown up finally being like, you don't need to be everywhere at once, at all moments. And you do have bigger goals to achieve right now. And it's okay to feel like you're not always there. And I guess the only reason maybe why I'm fine with this is because from a young age, I feel like I put myself out there a lot and done it. Because I think a lot of people would then have the other extreme where it's like, oh, I don't put myself out there enough.
Yeah, yeah. I think as well, the last 2 years since COVID, like, we have traveled. We've been traveling. We've been out here saying yes to every trip, every opportunity we can to go and experience something new and meet new people. And I think we're kind of at the point, we're at our threshold where we're like, okay, we've kind of done that for now. And that doesn't mean we're not going to ever do it again. That's in our bloody blood.
It is in our bloody blood.
It's in our bloody blood.
But I think it's about alignment. Mm. It's about what our goals are. And I think we're actually finally in alignment with our goals, because you and I have always struggled to, we'll slow down, we'll stop socializing, we'll stop this. And we can't help but do it. Mm. But for once, we can't help but not go and socialize. Like, we're actually proper burnt out.
The weird thing is, though, I'm not burnt out. I'm actually not burnt out. I don't feel my, like...
Well, I don't feel drawn to being, like,
I'm not
social.
Yeah, it's just that I'm not drawn to it. Like, I know the feeling of burnout. Like, it's, like, pure exhaust. And like, it's probably not that I'm not burnt out, but it's more that, like, I'm actually just for once acknowledging and honoring my body, being like, no. And the biggest thing that's come up for both of us is, like, complete distaste in alcohol. We don't want it. I don't crave.
One glass of wine? Sure.
And not even that for me. I literally don't care. Like, even at lunch the other day, like, there was, like, rosé and, like, blah, blah. And, like, you kind of realize how much you just kind of drink for the sake of it. Mm. And for me, I started getting the most hectic hangovers that really put me off. And, like, the anxiety the next day, my body just wasn't feeling very good. I'm, like, sensitive as fuck. Like, I think we've gathered this with my body. She's a sensitive girl, and I'm, like, sick of complaining. I'm sick of feeling not great. So I'm, like, avoid doing the thing that's doing that.
Yeah.
And I hate missing life. I hate missing days. And when you're hungover, you miss days. You eat like shit. It throws you off.
Yeah.
So I was just, like, I actually have no ambition of drinking, and I have no ambition of feeling drunk. And maybe it's because I've stopped running as well. Mm. Like, I'm dealing with things head on a little bit more now as well. And so I also think, for anyone listening, if you're going through something emotionally or you're feeling burnt out, I promise you, like, the escapism through alcohol or drugs or partying, it's maybe for a brief moment if you need a little bit of fun and more dopamine in your life, then sure, it's great in small doses, but all in all, it's not going to help you feel better. Like, alcohol is a depressant. It's not going to help,
except tequila.
Yes, but it still, I'm sure, has levels of not good, not greatness for you.
It probably explains why, because I've stopped drinking tequila because I've become an Aperol girly from this summer.
Mm.
And my hangovers have been not great.
But also, there's lots of sugar in Aperol and stuff.
I know, but, like, it's wine, like, it's sparkling wine. So that explains why, because I'm having, like, 5 bloody uppies in a night, and then I'll get tequila shots.
I know.
But, like, when I used to just drink margaritas, like, straight tequila, I wouldn't hardly wake up hungover.
With from Margs?
Yeah.
But there's so much sugar in them as well.
No, it's only agave. Mm. It's only a little shot of agave.
I feel like Margs is so sweet.
Tommy's Marg Doll. It's got no Contro in it.
Yeah, true. Well, I don't know.
It's literally just lime, tequila, and agave.
For me, any alcohol. I mean, if I was just doing straight tequila shots, I'd probably be fine. But it's just even the feeling of feeling drunk. I don't like it anymore.
I don't like it anymore either. I feel like I'm really it makes me feel like I'm so disconnected from myself. I wake up the next day and I'm like, what did I say? What did I do? Like, why was I thinking those things? Like, I remember, like, thinking certain thoughts that night or day that I was drinking. And I'm like, why did I do that?
Or, yeah, well, the other morning, yeah. Ash woke up.
Yeah, I woke up the other morning and I instantly was like anxiety. Like I felt like someone was like standing on my chest. I was acting irritable. I was acting just stubborn. Like I didn't want to hear anything. I was basically like a really shit version of myself. Emotionally, I couldn't, anything was over, I felt very overwhelmed by anything. And obviously there was a couple of things that happened that morning, but I just, everything felt like the world was crumbling in on me and everything was happening to me. And like, I just didn't feel like I could handle anything and I didn't want to do anything. Then I felt shit about myself. And like, I only had four rosés, but like it got me because I haven't really been drinking.
I mean, even for me, it's so funny because we know alcohol is bad for us and we know like partying's bad and like drugs are bad, all of that stuff. But like even for me in moments where I've not been feeling my best, people are like, well, you should probably like chill on the partying. Not that I'm honestly, I love that I come across like a raging party animal. Party cardi. I'm more of a raging socialite, yeah. I would say, rather than like,
you're not like some like crazy party animal who's sloppy all the time. Like I've never seen you sloppy once.
Never sloppy. I don't actually drink that much. I'm not on a bunch of substances.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite a grandma when it comes to consuming things. My body just like, I don't need that much. I just love socializing. But it's so funny that people will be like, you should just not drink for a bit, or you should just like not do this or that, or like, you know, and I'll be like, no, but I love it. I love it. Like, I love going out, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's actually crazy that it really does help when you stop.
Yeah.
Because you just feel so much more clear-minded. And, like, it's, you don't ever want to hear that advice, though.
No.
You don't want to hear it from people because you're like, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. But we're just here to say, it does help. There's when like, you cut it
like,
out.
It's like a purging period. I feel like when you stop it, it's like you get the withdrawal stages where you're like, oh, I hate this. Like you're adjusting, right? So you're like, I feel like what's there to do? Like you kind of have to rewire your brain around like having fun because then you've now got to be like, okay, well, maybe I'll go to the park and do a picnic, or maybe I'll go to the movies, or just go to dinner with a friend. Like you've got to actually find the fun in other things now because – but before you drank, before you were, let's say, 18, because that's the legal age, what things were fun? What things did you find fun? Like you actually have to, like, look a little deeper into, like, what brings you happiness. Because my ex-boyfriend, I remember him. We had a bit of an argument because I'm like, you never want to do anything but go drink with me.
Yeah, this is funny.
And I said, what else do you like to do? Let's call him, we all know his names, but I just don't want to say it. Let's call him
Perry.
Wait, why?
I don't know. Perry.
Okay.
Perry. No, start the story again. Yeah. So Perry, your ex-boyfriend.
Perry, my ex-boyfriend. Imagine. I said to him, what brings you happiness? He goes, you never want to do what I want to do and what makes me happy. I said, all you like to do is drink. All you want to do is get drunk together. He goes, yeah. I said, well, I don't want to drink all the time. Like, what else makes you happy? Nothing, just that. I was like, that's really sad.
Perry, we're going to have a big chat.
Yeah.
Perry needs some help.
Perry needed help. So eventually, you know, after we broke up, he found things like hiking, surfing, like all of these things.
Mate, maybe you drove him so mad, Dolph.
I just drank to beer. Oh, no. The way that when we first started dating, he was in a much worse off state compared to when the end.
You saved him.
I saved it.
Yeah. You should be the one that's needing the drinks, not him.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, there's a lot of people out there, though, that the drinking culture is so big and it's in London and it's in Australia.
I mean, I do love it. This is the hard part.
I know,
part.
Same. And I love when I'm on my second appy and I'm get a high from it. You feel like the world is amazing.
But I think something I learned even when I had 2 months off alcohol when I was doing my candida diet was that you can still go out and be social without the drinking. It's definitely, okay, I'm just going to say, if you're in a relationship or you have someone, it's a lot easier to do the no drinking because you've got that serotonin.
Yeah.
Cuddles and kissing and fun things. You can go on dates and it's sexy, sexy. When you're single, a lot of drinking for me comes from like just being out and about and like, well, actually, it's a lie because I also, if I'm with someone, I love going out with them and having dinner and cocktails and being goofy, but it's easier.
Can't relate right now.
Yeah. I get it if you're newly single because lots of people do say like, well, how do I go out and mingle with guys and stuff when I'm sober, scary and blah, blah. Sometimes you just have to pick what era you're in and like for me, when I was doing that sober period, I was literally newly single.
Yeah.
I still went on dates sober. I just pushed myself to try new things.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Remember?
You did. And you were so scared.
I was so nervous.
But like, then you came home and you were like, I liked that so much more.
I had like one of the best dates ever when I was just sober, like newly after my breakup and stuff. And it was so good. I think you'll surprise yourself a lot of what you can do and how much fun you can have sober.
Well, you're not going to walk away going, oh, damn, did I make a bit of a fool of myself because I got a bit too tipsy? Or like, I don't know, when you're sober, you're just so authentically yourself.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean the other person can't drink or whatever, but you then can make kind of like wiser decisions as well, I guess, and then, you know.
And it's, you can gauge more if that's like someone that you want to pursue something with as well, because when you're drunk, you lose a little bit of sense of, you know, common sense.
Yeah. Even the guy that I went on a date with, we went on like another, I think maybe 3 dates, and I was sober for all of them, or 2 dates. No, 3, yeah. I was sober for all of them. We were doing really wholesome activities. Like we went for like a walk in the park, and we had the best time, and it was so nice. And he even was like, it's so nice. We're just getting to know each other properly, and like, it's not rushed and it's really chilled and stuff. But I don't even know how we got into this topic of drinking and stuff. But I think for us in our 20s, it's so easy.
I'm 30. Oh. Don't you come and say us in our 20s anymore.
Oh.
No, I know, it's sad. It's actually like I need a funeral for my 20s.
Me and the other gals and boys and people in their 20s.
Well, can we just not combine it?
For us humans. It can be anyone at any age though, to be honest.
Girly pops, boy pops.
Just when you're younger, you do feel like you want to go out and just have fun and live. And I'm all here for that. I'm such a yes girl, encourage that. But for anyone feeling burnt out by maybe just the socializing culture and the drinking culture, like you have to listen to your body. And like, I have gone years with not listening to my body properly. Yeah. And I guess we can now come into the...
It will force you into listening to it in other ways. But I know what you were going to say.
Oh, I thought, I was like, she did not pick up on what I was meaning.
No, I just meant like, if you don't listen to your body, then it will make you listen to it. Like, you will get sick or you'll
anxiety.
Get...
anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. Illnesses will come up. Diseases will come up.
Mm-hmm.
I say that way because I feel like dis-ease in the body is dis-ease.
Disease.
Yeah, but it's dis-ease.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah, something doesn't feel right. I feel
something's not right.
Disconnected from myself. Yeah. Or I'm irritable.
Yeah.
I'm moody.
Yeah.
You might, for girls, your period symptoms might be more intense. Like, that's what I notice. I'm like, oh, I'm PMSing. Yeah.
Hormone problems, mental health issues, which leads us.
Yeah. So I've recently discovered something really big for me, which makes so much sense. And so I've been feeling all of these things, like really anxious, firstly, which we know I've suffered for fucking years.
Overwhelm,
just brain zoomies, brain crashes, like I can't think straight, I can't achieve what I want to achieve. I just often feel like a bit of a spiraling mess, and I could never figure out why, because I have all of the things in place. Like, I meditate, I journal, I work out, I eat really clean most of the time, I drink lots of water, I am very in touch with
my... planned person too, like you sit down, you can see what you need to do,
and I'm not lazy, that's the thing.
No, you're not.
And I am so motivated with work and what I want to achieve, but for some reason I was just struggling so much to overcome my mind to achieve the things I wanted to do, and I constantly felt so up and down in my moods, and I honestly just got to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore, I don't know what's wrong with me. So I went back to basics again, what I did a few years ago when I felt like this, and got all my blood tests done. They always come back that I'm fine. Mm. And every time I'm like, fuck!
Yeah, for years you've been trying to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, and I'm like, I just started feeling so upset. I remember just calling my mom crying, being like, what is wrong with me? Mm. Like, I'm sick of being the one person in the friendship group who always complaining, being like, oh, this is going on for me, or like this, and like never feeling like I could relate to anyone, because I'm like, does anyone else get like this? Or is it just me? Like, I'm literally losing my mind. Mm. So I met up with a friend one morning for breakfast, which was it was so random. I haven't seen her in ages. She's from Oz. And she was like, I just felt the need to reach out to you. Like, are you okay? And I was like, no, honestly, I'm like not. I feel so not myself, and I'm just exhausted with this. It comes in these crazy waves. And she was like, I was just telling her like my symptoms and all that. And she was like, babe, I think you have ADHD, because you remind me of myself 1 year ago before I like got medicated. And I was like, for years I've thought I had ADHD, but you hear people throw around so much like, I'm ADHD, or like, I'm ADD, like, ah, like it's like funny little thing. And I never wanted to say I had ADHD to take it away from people that actually did. Mm. But I also didn't know how to go about like actually exploring it because I thought it was something that people that were young got diagnosed with. So I just never thought about that for myself. So she ended up putting me in touch with someone that does
diagnoses.
I don't know. And who she went to and like she had pretty much told me like going on medication changed her life and saved her essentially because ADHD and anxiety are so linked, ADHD and depression, ADHD and lots of other issues are so linked. And so I had my chat with this woman and she was like, well, yes, you are like all the results came back and Ashton had to fill out a form about me. My mum had to fill out a form about me. And she was like, you've 100% like struggled with this since you were a child. And you've got combination. Mm-hmm. So that's just great as well. So it's like a bit of there's, I think, two different types of anxiety.
ADD and ADHD.
No, there's like one where it's like you're like proactive revy and then there's one where you're like
paralyzed,
can't do anything and people just think you're really lazy.
That one's me. No, I know that one is me. Anyway, it's not about me right now.
No, but yeah, you should do the test if you think.
I know. I'm just scared to go on medication.
I don't, this is the thing with what I'm now researching and learning a lot about ADHD. There's so many, it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
Just like anything with mental health, everyone's brain is so different. It's a spectrum and like.
Teachers always told me I had it.
Yeah, but. A lot of the time, there's also lots of superpowers behind having ADHD. Like, I love it in my personality. I think the ADHD in me is the things I love about myself the most. Yeah. Like, I'm whack. Fucking whack. Yeah.
And no, you're hilarious when you'll be, like, bawling your eyes out crying about something. And then it's like two seconds, she'll be like, anyway, like, blah, 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 blah.
Talking about
like,
something different.
And then she'll go back into crying. And I'm like,
I did think I had bipolar for a while, but I don't.
No.
I'm the least moody. I'm not the least moody person, but I'm not very moody. My moods are quite consistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I'll tell you what's up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think you have bipolar.
No, I don't. I just got A-ding-a-ling.
Yeah, A-ding-a-ling.
A-dingers.
A-dingers.
But anyways, so there's a spectrum of it. And the thing is why you don't need to be medicated for it.
It's
something that you can manage. And my brother said this to me because he has ADHD and he said, I've just learned how to.
Every time I'm nodding my chair.
Yeah. Wobble, wobble. My brother has ADHD as well. And he said, well, yeah, Cardia, you obviously have it. And he said this to me ages ago. And I was like, oh. But he has a really good, like, he's formed things around it to help him be more organized. Use scheduling tools. I think my brain has just gotten to such threshold. A point because it's all about your dopamine levels. Mm-hmm. So I'm chasing these crazy highs. And often they say once you get to them, it's never as good as what you think it's going to be because you've worked it up so much in your head. Yeah. And if that's not me, do it.
No, that's you, doll. That's you.
So anyways, I've gone down this path and I've gotten my diagnosis, which I actually think has helped me be able to say no now because I know it's not me chasing things. It's my brain tricking me.
Yeah.
So I feel
you've been able to separate your brain and your ADHD because it is two separate things.
Yeah.
You are not your ADHD.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a part of you. And if you can separate it and identify when it's showing up, then you can manage it better.
Yeah. And it has helped profoundly. I can't even explain. Since I've had my diagnosis, my anxiety has calmed itself. Like,
well, you can make sense of all of this now. Like, you have an answer. Like, people, when they know there's something wrong, they want to know why. Even if there's not an immediate fix, you now have peace in knowing, okay, there is something wrong with me because I'm sick of being told there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. And it's like,
And I have been going on a crazy exploration chase of like, is it still from my concussion from years ago? Which obviously spurred on a lot of bad things in this because also traumatic incidents can make your ADHD worse and all of that.
And you've gone through
a few things lots of
in
different
the last few years.
Yeah. And I think for me it's helped me also just like being able to relate to people for the first time in a long time. Like
not
when
feel
I
feel alone.
Oh my God, when I posted my YouTube video and all the comments of people just like, this is what I did and I went on medication and it helped me with this and it's okay to feel a bit confused about medication as well because I've been such a stickler even when I had like panic disorder, anxiety when I was younger or like depression and stuff. I've really been for myself anti-medication just because I wanted to heal it naturally. There's nothing wrong with medication. Mm-hmm. It can obviously change people's lives. And I'm going to be, you know, testing that out soon too, because I'm intrigued if it can help me. And, you know, there was just people, I love hearing people's advice on it or their own personal experiences. And that's also why we have the podcast, just to talk about personal experiences. Yeah. Like for me though, for the first time in years, I was like, wow, like I feel so like I relate with people and like I'm not fucking losing my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's been really nice and like researching it, understanding like, oh my God, that little habit that I do, wow, that's because of that. Yeah. Like it's other people do that too.
It would be, there's so many people that go undiagnosed. You said females especially because
the rate of
about our emotional.
Yeah. State? Well, from what I read something, I also don't quote me on any of this.
Yeah, we're not doctors, by the way, no. Guys. So anything we're speaking about is very just much on like personal experience or
lots
you
of
know.
Googles, lots of TikTok teachings, but
reliable source, of course.
Reliable source. But a lot of females go undiagnosed and without help on the ADHD because people just think they're being, you know, emotional females, when mm-hmm. ADHD really plays an impact on your emotions, mm-hmm. on everything. You can get people with ADHD are more prone to PMDD, which is like post having your period, like your PMS symptoms go fucking wild.
It's just crazy.
So I would say like if you're feeling, you know, any type of way, I think there's nothing wrong. And like I would preach this for so long, like there's nothing wrong with getting help. I fully went down that route. Like, remember I went to the doctor, finally told the doctor about my anxiety and was like, can I please have some help with this? Like, you know, I tried out beta blockers with my anxiety and then got a Valium prescription for when like, you know, my really panic attacks get really bad. And have I had to use them once? No. Because it's just the reassurance of knowing I've got support if I need it. And I think for once it's like I'm not feeling ashamed of doing that. Yeah. So, but I would love to have like, and we will look into it, getting on like a psychologist or psychiatrist. Or there's a girl that Gabby put me in touch with who wrote a book on ADHD.
Really?
And I would love to have her on the pod. I'm going to look into this just for, other people that deal with it and for myself to learn more.
Yeah.
You can learn, Lucy, if maybe you've got a little A-ding-a-ling as well.
I definitely am on the spectrum. I feel like a mouse on a wheel and I've got 100 tabs open at once. Yeah. I can't complete tasks. I tick a lot of the boxes.
Yeah.
But I just don't have the anxiety that comes with it and a few other things.
Yeah.
But I definitely know. I just haven't bothered to do anything about it because it hasn't impact. I mean, it has impacted my life in a way, but like not enough to the point where it's like debilitating or like it's affecting the quality of my life.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. And like ADHD, like it has its superpowers. Like we, you know, you can get a lot done and you're very creative.
It's polarizing. Yeah. It can either stop productivity, which is what it does for me.
Yeah.
But I have my moments where I just want to clean. I can't. Okay. If I want to start cleaning something, this is why I'm really bad at cleaning my room, right?
Mm.
Because I'm like, once I get going, I want to do everything.
Well, it's called hyperfocus.
Oh.
It's a thing.
Oh.
Never seen you in it, but.
No, you have, because you've gone, well, Lou, you've just fucking turned the room. Like, I've gone from
Do it when you're on your laptop. Sometimes when your brain finally clicks into it, you will sit there for so long and you'll get a whole thing
finished.
And
I don't want to be interrupted. And it's weird.
Yeah,
it's strange.
It's ADHD,
and
isn't
it's why I procrastinate getting into it, because I'm like, oh, I'm going to be here for a while if I do. It's just, it's finding that I don't have that balance. I don't have that normal, okay, sit down for a little bit, do some work. Mm. No, I can't.
The only thing that I have fears about with going on medication for ADHD, I think the normal fears is like, well, one, I already suffer really bad anxiety, and essentially, like, ADHD medication is a stimulant. Well, one of the types, at least I know, is a stimulant. So I know you can get anxiety from that, but maybe it will help. But then the other side is they say it helps with anxiety. So that I'm a bit nervous of, and like obviously side effects of medication. I would just be scared that my personality would be numbed down. But I mean, this is what I'm about to explore. And like, I will openly keep you guys very in the loop with it, because I know so many people suffer with ADHD, and like, I'm not ashamed of it. I think it's, you know, obviously I would prefer not to have it, but I'm going to celebrate. I think with anything in life that you feel like comes up as a
negative,
you can always turn it in a positive way. And I'm grateful for the things that it makes my brain unique.
You're creative.
I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And I love that about myself.
Exactly. 1 minute you're bloody crying and 2 minutes later you're
on top of the world.
Exactly. So live, love, love. Live, love, 80 dingers. 80
A-dingalings.
A-dingalings.
Hope that's not offensive to anyone. That's just what I've called her. Cardi with the A-dinglings.
Oh, you know, you're just trying to make the...
Make light out of...
Exactly. Dark. I was just going to end it on, is there any, you know, mindfulness practices that we can recommend to people who could be when they're feeling overwhelmed? For mm-hmm. example, this morning, you got a bit overwhelmed. I think it helps to confide in someone or just like, I feel like self-havening. Have you heard of that?
Havening.
So I do it to you without you realizing.
Yeah. Oh, no, I notice it and it helps.
So I grab Cardi whenever she's feeling overwhelmed or anxious. I rub her chest or her back.
Oh, no, you're so cute when you do that. She just immediately starts doing it.
It works. Yeah. Because I watched Justin Bieber documentary and he self-havens. So he'll like, he does things to stimulate feeling like, in, like, you know, when you're a baby, right? And when you're having like a bit of a cry, like you're kind of like, you want your dummy or your blanket. Yeah. It's like that. It's kind of like when someone rubs you on the back, it's like calming.
Yeah.
So if you just like, when I'm nervous, I'll start like, I don't know if you've ever seen my fingers or I'll be like I just start really trying to like get the feeling.
You're also connecting with yourself if you just give yourself a little touch, like I'm here. I used to rub my leg, like I'd be like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. But I think if you can see someone in a bit of a panic, like rub their back, rub their chest, like just do something.
Just so they know you're there.
Maybe if you're not a male, don't rub a female's chest. But
don't go touching the titties.
But what do you do to help calm yourself down? Say if I wasn't there, you'd probably call me.
If you weren't there, yes, I'd be calling or my mother, which is not always the best. Like, you don't always have to do that. For me, the only thing that normally settles me is crying.
Yeah, okay.
It's really weird. Like, if you have that capacity to, or if you're in a place you feel safe to, I encourage this more than anything. Like, did you see me this morning? I literally outburst into tears for about less than a minute.
Yeah.
Like, the tears are falling. I'm still talking to Lou. I'm
still doing her makeup.
Still doing my makeup as the tears are falling. But the minute I cried, it releases so much energy that you're emotion you're holding in. You just need to let it out.
Yeah.
I can cry so fast and snap back to being good literally in a second. I've trained myself to do that. If you can feel comfortable to do that around someone, to just tell them how you feel, it really helps. I, at any moment I feel anxious or a little bit uneasy, I just tell someone quickly. Yep. They don't have to really do much, but letting someone know how I'm feeling makes me feel safer in case I like combust. Spiral.
Yeah. Or... I feel like otherwise if you don't tell anyone, then you can make things out to be worse in your head. Uh-huh. And next minute you're like running on that narrative, like we've spoken before. And you're reacting on the narrative that's not even real.
Yeah.
Half the time.
Another one is just if you have a second to meditate, obviously breathe, ground, stand on some grass. Even this morning I thought like my brain was spinning so fast because I knew we had to come here. I was like due for my period. My stomach was hurting. My head was thumping. I felt so tired. My agents were texting me a bunch of stuff. I just felt really overwhelmed. And all my brain could think was meditate and go and stand on the grass. Mm. I didn't do either because I cried and you made me feel better. But if I was alone, that's what I probably would have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's some other things that you do?
I think I like to bring it back to, am I safe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is anyone hurting me? Am I safe? And I actually just imagine my brain going, anxiety, real life.
Mm-hmm.
Or I imagine my anxiety as a cloud passing by. And I'm like, I'm anxious right in this moment. It's going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You're never in one emotional state for too long. So it's fine. I don't let it get the better of me most of the time. I just think, look, sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm sad. Sometimes I'm angry. I'm anxious right now. I honor it. And then I just let it pass.
Which is so smart because it is hard sometimes when you're feeling anxious because you feel like it's going to stick there forever. Or if you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling a bit lost, it's like you literally, your brain convinces you, this is you now.
Yeah.
Doom and gloom. But you have to remember, like remember back to, I think back to another moment I felt really anxious and I thought it would never end. And then I thought back to a moment the next day, say that I was happy again. Mm. So it is a cloud passing by.
And I think a lot of shame comes with anxiety. Like I feel like, especially when you're in public, for me, if I've got anxiety, like I wish I had sunnies if I didn't, like I don't want anyone to see me in this state. And like, even if you're, you know, hanging out with a bunch of friends, like, you know, you kind of want to just like close your eyes and like be somewhere else. Like you don't want to be there. So I think not letting like the shameful feelings get in the way as well, because that can make you more anxious and make you panic more and be like, how do I get out of this? It makes you feel like you're a bit trapped in a room vibe.
That's why I tell people,
yeah,
say I'm in a group, because my anxiety makes me act a bit funny. I'm a bit like disassociated. Yeah. I'm like not very present. I could come across a bit rude. I just will tell people, because I'll go a bit more quiet. I'll just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just feeling a bit anxious right now, a bit overwhelmed. Like, it's just been a big day. Or like, yeah. I'm just, and it's just so they know.
Yeah.
Because then it ticks off one last thing in my head, thinking, oh, they're, but like, they're thinking I'm being rude, yeah, or whatever. But anyways, well, what a random episode.
I know. I need a pee so bad.
We've covered quite a lot of random shit.
I know. I wonder how long this ep goes for.
I think it's like 40 something, but that's our little life update. That's my ADHD little chat. And yeah, any feedback, we always love. You can DM us about some topics you want us to cover, mm-hmm, about all of that stuff, and or just how you're feeling right now. Would love to hear.
Yeah, we're always open to hearing how you guys deal with things too, because mm-hmm, we obviously have very similar ways of dealing with things. Mm. So it's interesting to see. I'm always open to trying other tools, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode and the new little... What do we call it in London? Gaff.
And enjoy our new gaff. Oh my God. In the new gaff. Yeah. I wish it was our new gaff.
It's our temporary gaff, but we love her. We're about to do another ep too, so don't worry. We're not going too far.
All right. Love you guys.
Bye.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 your year to finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't actually help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. It's super convenient and helps you with actual conversation tips and tools so that you can learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while on vacation. It can just give you that extra confidence when in a foreign country or a non-English speaking country. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/chaos. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/chaos, spelled BABBEL.com/chaos. Rules and restrictions may apply.